Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, one man car. I am riding solo today. We call that a king car. Jesus 911, we are three retired cops from Los Angeles, and we talk about muscular Christianity. We talk about spiritual warfare. And today, I want to highlight certain Catholic priests, and I want to do this because I want to empower other Catholic priests out there that just feel, oftentimes feel that their cross is very difficult being a Catholic priest right now in today's culture, given what's been happening in the Catholic Church as a result of so much infiltration of bad, of Masons, communists, homosexuals into the Catholic priesthood. I want to profile two heroic Catholic priests.
Right.
Here's the first one is actually a layperson, and then the second one will be a priest. But this is what I would call heroic virtue. I don't know if you ever heard of Blessed Franz Jagerstatter. Okay? Blessed Franz Jagerstatter. He was born May 20th, 1907. He died August 9th, 1949. He was called to serve his country as a Nazi soldier. He was a German Catholic layman. And Franz, Blessed Franz, he refused. He refused to serve Germany as a Nazi soldier. So this husband and this father of three daughters, Rosalie, Marie, and Eloisa, he was executed because of it. So here's a story. Blessed Franz was born in St. Radegund in Upper Austria. Blessed Franz lost his father during World War I, and he was adopted after Heinrich Jagerstatter married Rosalia Huber. So as a young man, he loved to ride his motorcycle, and he was a natural leader of a gang whose members were arrested in 1934 for brawling. And for years, he worked in the mines in another city and then returned to St. Radegund, where he became a farmer. He married Franziska, and he lived his faith with quiet but intense conviction. Well, in 1938, he publicly opposed the German annexation of Austria. And guess what? The next year, he was drafted into the Austrian army. He was trained for 7 months, and then he received a deferment. In 1940, Blessed Franz Jagerstatter, he was called up again but allowed to return home at the request of the town's mayor. He was in active service between October 1940 and April 1941, but was again deferred. His pastor, other priests, and the Bishop of Linz urged him not to refuse to serve if drafted. So, February 1943 rolls around. Blessed Franz was called up again and reported to army officials in Enns, Austria. When Blessed Franz refused to take the oath of loyalty to Hitler, he was imprisoned in Linz. Later, he volunteered to serve in the medical corps, but was not assigned there. During Holy Week, Blessed Franz wrote to his wife, he wrote the following quote, "Easter is coming, and if it should be God's will that we can never again in this world celebrate Easter together in our intimate family circle, we can still look ahead in the happy confidence that when the eternal Easter morning dawns, no one in our family circle shall be missing, so we can be permitted to rejoice together forever," close quote. Blessed Franz, from his jail cell, he was transferred in May to a prison in Berlin, Germany, for refusing, as a lay Catholic, to serve Hitler's army. Blessed Franz was challenged by his attorney that other Catholics were serving in the army, but Blessed Franz responded, he says, "I can only act on my own conscience. I do not judge anyone. I can only judge myself. That's what he said. Blessed Franz says, I have considered my family. I have prayed and put myself and my family in God's hands. I know that if I do what I think God wants me to do, he will take care of my family, close quote. So on August 8th, 1943, Blessed Franz wrote to his wife, Franziska. He wrote, Dear wife and mother, I thank you once more from my heart for everything you have done for me in my lifetime, for all the sacrifices that you have borne for me. I beg you to forgive me if I have hurt or offended you, just as I have forgiven everything. My heartfelt greetings for my dear children. I will surely beg the dear God, if I am permitted to enter heaven soon, that he will set aside a little place in heaven for all of you, my family. So Blessed Franz was beheaded by the Germans and cremated the following day. In 1946, his ashes were reburied in Radegund near a memorial inscribed with his name and the names of almost 60 village men who died during their military service. He was beatified in Linz on October 26, 2007, and his spiritual testament is now in Rome in St. Bartholomew's Church as part of a shrine to the 20th century martyrs for their faith. Blessed Franz, pray for us. Talk about a man's man. Here's a guy that was married with three kids during the World War II, recruited to the German army to fight for Hitler, and his Catholic conscience prevented him from doing so. And so he would prefer to languish in prison instead of being at home with his wife and his three daughters. Because of his well-formed conscience, he preferred to be in prison and ultimately get beheaded by the German Third Reich than to compromise his moral conscience and serve in Hitler's army. That's a man right there. That's a man of character. That's a man of conviction. Let me share with you another man. This one's a priest. In fact, there's a book. It's a fairly famous book. It's called The Shadow of His Wings, The True Story of Father Gerion Goldman. The True Story of Father Gerion Goldman. It's an inspiring story of a Catholic priest who was a spy for God in Hitler's army. He was as a former officer in Hitler's dreaded SS, Father Gerion Goldman, his war experience spanned the map of Europe during World War II, from Paris to Poland to the hellish Russian front. And through each ordeal, which was more brutal than the last, he remained rooted in his Catholic convictions, proclaiming the faith to his Nazi countrymen with the bravery that can only come from heaven. He was finally caught basically being a double agent, being a spy for Jesus and evangelizing while in a German soldier's uniform. So he was banished to the North African prison camps where Nazism reigned supreme. And Father Goldman constructed chapels. He preached 2,000 sermons. He started a school of theology and even began Eucharistic adoration. Can you imagine? This story, Shadow of His Wings, is a powerful testimony of God's providence and the thrilling true life adventure of a Catholic priest that dared to live his faith wearing a Nazi uniform and basically being undercover for Jesus. It's an astonishing story, a true story. The book is called The Shadow of His Wings, A True Story of Father Gerion Goldman. That's another man's man. The book talks about his harrowing experiences of a young German seminarian drafted into Hitler's dreaded SS at the onset of World War II. And this young seminarian, without betraying his Catholic Christian ideals and against all odds and in the face of evil, the Third Reich, Hitler's Third Reich, Gerion Goldman was able to complete his priestly training. He was ordained and secretly ministered to German Catholic soldiers and innocent civilians caught up in the horrors of war. how it all came to pass, it'll astound you. And Father Goldman tells of his own incredible experiences of the trials of war, his many escapes from almost certain death, and the diabolical persecution that he and his fellow Catholic soldiers encountered on account of their faith. And what emerges from this story of Father Gerion Goldman is an extraordinary witness to the workings of God's divine providence and the undying power of love, prayer, faith, and sacrifice. All I could say is, Father Goldman, pray for us, because I'm sure one day he'll be raised to the altars of the Catholic Church. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm a one-man car today. It's called a king car. And I'm talking about heroic Catholic men. I just shared with you a layman. I shared with you a Catholic priest. Just want to remind you that August 2nd and 3rd, I'm going to be over at Dearborn, Michigan, over with Church Militants Men's Conference. It will be at the Dearborn, Michigan, Doubletree Hilton Hotel. The information is on Church Militants' website. It's also on my website, jesseromero.com. The speakers there will be Michael Voris, myself, Doug Barry, and Simon Rafe. It's going to be a very challenging men's conference, so you don't want to miss it. Trust me. My name is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Jesus 911. I'm a one-man car. I'm giving you some Catholic intel, Catholic briefing to prepare you to hit the streets. Go out and evangelize and save souls. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, one-man car, we're 10-8, on duty and reporting for Jesus, reporting for duty for Jesus Christ. That's what every Catholic man should be saying. Every time you wake up, you should be looking at a crucifix and you should be saying, reporting for duty, Lord. Hey, we got a a special guest invited today. He's a young adult. I've met him several times. I've struck a pretty good relationship with him. His name is Cameron Brewer, and I just want to make sure. Cameron, are you on, my friend?
Yes, I am, Jesse.
Yes, all right. Well, let me introduce you to the audience here. I've met Cameron on several occasions, and I have a kindred spirit with him because he's a fellow martial artist. So he reminds me of me 30 years ago. He's a young, zealous martial artist, but he's also an on-fire Catholic. And so we're going to have a thoughtful conversation here. And one of the things that Terry and myself and everybody here at Virgin Most Powerful, we'd like to bring young people back into the church. And this guy, you know, Cameron Brewer, is one of those young, fired-up Catholic men. So, Cameron, how old are you? And the second question is, when would you say that the Catholic faith started becoming important to you?
Well, first of all, Jesse, thanks very much for taking me on a ride along in the Faithmobile.
That's right. It's called the Faithmobile. 21. I like it.
I'm almost 21. I have my birthday coming up soon. So my faith to me has really become important to me, and where I kind of really made the decision was around maybe 13, 14.
Wow.
My mom at the time at the time my mom was a Sunday only Catholic and my dad is agnostic. So I really had to kind of put the pedal to the metal and kind of decide what I wanted to do, because in anything, faith, martial arts, life, I'm never going to do anything halfway. So I decided if I'm going to be Catholic, I'm going to be completely Catholic. If I'm not, I'm not going to be. So I put some time, I studied, I looked at different religions, and I decided that the Catholic Church is the one true faith and that I'm going to devote myself completely to it.
You know what I think, I think as part of your martial arts background, I remember when I was young and in martial arts, you know, you want to be at the top of your game. You train not just to, you know, not just to make yourself feel good. You train because you want to be good. You want to be at the top of your game. And so that kind of translated to my religion as well. I hear you saying the same thing, that intensity you had for physical fitness and for sports, you also said, well, you know what? I need to find out what the truth is about religion. And so that I think your physical fitness training had an impact on your pursuit of finding out which is a true religion. Would you say that's the case?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. A lot of the discipline that comes from martial arts and MMA and stuff like that translates well to religion, to Catholicism, and vice versa.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey of faith. Where were you born and raised? What school did you go to? How many siblings you have? You have a mom and dad. How's the home life? But you already basically told us at 13, you had that moment where you said, you know what, I've got to see if this is true or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, well, I've been a military child my whole life. I've been homeschooled. What kind of happened when I was 13 was we actually saw an Immaculate Heart radio sticker on a bumper sticker when we were down in San Diego.
Wow.
In one of my father's duty stations. And it was perfect because your guys' show was right between, I believe you guys were on at noon, and it was right between practice. I'd have morning practice, I'd do some school, we'd listen to your guys' radio show, and then I'd go back to night practice. And,
wow.
That kind of became a habit for me and my mom because we were always in the car driving around listening to the radio. So that kind of was what spurred both my decision to become Catholic and also my mom's fervent devotion to the church as well, beyond being a Sunday only Catholic to one of the most religious and devout people I know.
So Catholic radio had something to do with your conversion, your deeper conversion to the faith. And I guess the Terry and Jesse show also had something to do with your bringing you closer to Christ in the church, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Lord's gym really worked me out and worked me into the church.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow, I'm honored. I'm honored that I was the little link in the chain here. So share some ways that you live out your Catholic faith as a young man. So you're involved in martial arts. What college are you going to, or did you graduate? Are you involved with anything in college in terms of the faith? So share with us some ways that you live your Catholic faith as a young man. I also see your business card here. It says the Kicking Catholic, so we'll get into that as well. But share some things that you're doing actively, the way you're living out your Catholic faith as a young man.
Yes, sir. Well, I go to Cal State Fullerton. I'm dual majoring in both public administration and criminal justice.
Ah.
I'm starting work for a police department in line with you pretty
wow.
soon. I'm going to be going to get my master's in public administration as well. But I am an active member in Tyne Catholic. I do a lot of evangelization stuff on campus. I'm the president of Students for Life on Catholic Fullerton.
Wow.
We raise a lot of money for pregnant and parenting students, trying to change the hearts and minds of the people who Planned Parenthood really targets. That's their demographic, is 18, 19 to 25-year-old kids in college. There is a Planned Parenthood, I believe, 2 or 3 miles from every single college campus. So in the States. So that's something.
So you network with a bunch of fired up young Catholics there at Fullerton, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The Tyne Catholic has really been kicking butt when it comes to conversions and keeping the faith strong in one of the most godless and religionless campuses there is.
No, I'm sure most of them are like that. So have you had any, personally, Cameron, because we've seen how sometimes leftists and, liberals, they resort to violence on college campuses. If they don't like what you're saying, have you had, one of those Antifa moments where you've had some leftists, get in your grill and want to punch you because, maybe you're, giving a pro-life lecture or, have a pro-life t-shirt or something? Have you ever had a confrontation by a leftist in your Catholic college, or have you ever had a bad incident with a teacher who's tried to, humiliate you or chastise you in class because maybe you're wearing a pro-life t-shirt or something like that?
Yeah, well, we actually did have an instance on this a while back. We actually had a student who was talking about pro-life things, talking about more conservative issues, and he was assaulted by a professor.
And what?
The professor still... Yeah, assaulted by a professor. He was, I believe, pushed to the ground or punched in the face. And that professor is still doing class, teaching class there. Nothing has gone against him. We've tried to file a police report, and still nothing's happened. So
this is incredible.
Yeah, no, it is. It's absolutely insane. We've had lectures and stuff from Students for Life, and we brought speakers. And Mylon Yiannopoulos also came to campus. We had big protests for that as well. pepper spray was used. It's been crazy. It's been crazy there. I did not let my girlfriend wear her MAGA hat or anything during those times.
Hey, we're having a conversation with a young man. His name's Cameron Brewer. I met him years ago, and I met him as the Kicking Catholic. We'll get into that right now, but he's a homeschooled, fired-up young Catholic. Catholic Radio had something to do with his conversion, specifically the Terry and Jesse show. He especially likes when we call it the Lord's Gym. He's grown up in a military family. His dad's in the service, and he's in college now, and he's part of the pro-life student, the president at Fullerton College. Cameron, I want to get in. What are you the oldest of your siblings, or you have younger siblings?
Yeah, I have one brother, and he's 8 years old. I've been trying my best to kind of mold him in a way that into the Catholic faith.
Well, good. He's got a good example with you there. What about your dad? What's your dad think about the way you live your faith as a young Catholic? Is he cool with it, how's your dad about all this?
He definitely has questions. He's very cool with it. He's very supportive. It sometimes make it, way back when it used to make it hard when he didn't understand why we always had to go to mass and kind of, as he says, ruin his Sundays. But as time went on, he's become more and more supportive of it, and we've had conversations, and I believe that he's on his way.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord. What religion was he born and raised in?
I believe he was kind of bounced around from several different religions. I know. And in his family, there's some Jehovah's Witness influence. There's some Baptist influence. So he kind of grew up in a way that there wasn't one main thing.
Okay, I got it. So you know what? I just I feel compelled to pray for your father right now, just for his continued conversion. What's your father's name? His first name?
Randy.
Randy, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we just ask you to continue to touch the heart of Randy, Cameron's father. And we just ask you to just continue that good work that you began in him, Lord. And we just ask you to just to reveal yourself to him, Lord. Reveal yourself and give him the virtue, the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love. And Lord, just bring him to full conversion, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name through Mary's intercession. And through his guardian angel's intercession as well. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cameron, so tell us, when did you get involved in martial arts? And because I got a business card here in front of my desk. It says the Kicking Catholic. How did that come up? When did you get in martial arts? When did you realize that you loved the sport of martial arts, that it was a part of your DNA, and that you started pursuing training in martial arts? When did this happen? When did you have this epiphany?
I did all the sports. I did baseball, soccer, football. I was never much of a fan. I was kind of uncoordinated and stuff. So around 11 or 12, I was stuck on a military base in the middle of Italy that we couldn't get off of. So I went to this martial arts class, and I immediately fell in love. And I've been doing karate, kung fu, jiu-jitsu, MMA for the majority of my life now. So I've had a fantastic time. I've had 6 amateur fights in the cage. I won the 170-pound national title for youth MMA. I've kind of been doing everything. And
boy, that's a tough sport.
They helped me out.
Stepping in the cage in the MMA... that definitely helps you to be a strong Catholic and have core values and core principles. We're talking it with Cameron Brewer. Don't change that dial. We'll continue this conversation.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. One-man car. Well, actually, I got a two-man car. I got a partner riding with me today in the Faithmobile, Cameron Brewer. He's known as the Kicking Catholic. Okay, so Cameron, you got a very interesting background. I think being a military, you know, son of a military man, I think that's also helped you with your discipline, because you're a very disciplined young man. You've been training in Kung Fu, karate, jiu-jitsu, and MMA. And you've competed. You actually won a national amateur title. Where do you get this? The name, the ring name, the Kicking Catholic. How did you get this name?
Well, the kicking part comes from mainly if I'm in punching range, they're in punching range too. So I'd like to be out there without getting hit and pick my shots with my kicks. So that kind of comes from my karate style. But
got it. And what do people say, what do people say in the gym when they see your car that says the Kicking Catholic? Do they laugh about it?
Actually, no. They chuckle a little bit, but usually I get people that are like really, really happy and really excited. And it usually gets a very lighthearted chuckle in a good way.
Okay, so and you probably get a positive response, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've actually had a few conversations just based on my name alone.
Oh, that's awesome. With other fighters, other competitors, right? That's excellent.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a good way to...
Kind of what made my faith kind of come into my name? Well, one, because I believe it so strongly, but one of the first times I was in a professional gym with UFC and Bellator fighters, I was trying out for the team, and I was going against one of the biggest guys there. And he kind of just beat me to a pulp, hit me in the liver, hit me in the solar plexus. But I just would refuse to go down that round. And right after the bell rang and I was like thanking God for letting me get through the round, he said, "Man, you're one tough Christian boy." And I was like, well, at that point, I needed to keep it in my name and I needed to make sure everybody knew it.
Wow, that is awesome. So he told you this guy, "You're one tough Christian boy." That what a compliment he paid you. Hey, share some experiences, Cameron, in college or at the gym. Something that sticks out where you were able to evangelize and make a difference in somebody else's life. Well, that's one right there where you got beat down by one of the Bellator fighters and he told you that you're one tough Christian boy. You definitely made an impression on him. Can you share another story like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, Cal State Fullerton is kind of a little hostile to a legend. And I was in a class with my psychology professor my first semester there. And he would continuously go over things, probably speaking bad against Trump or some religion or probably against anything moral. But I would always...
He was a leftist, right? He was a leftist, obviously.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And I always had the courage to raise... I always sat in the front seat and I would raise my hand anytime he brought up a point. And it got so much that he actually started calling me the resident Catholic. You're like, "Oh, let's hear from our resident Catholic over here."
Wow.
And that actually kind of was very fruitful, because I was out tabling, handing out rosaries one of the days, and one of my classmates who was in there recognized me, and we struck up a long conversation and we became fast friends. He was Mormon at the time. Uh-huh. And he was just impressed by like what I was saying and what I was standing up for. And a year later, I became his godfather and he was fully baptized in the Catholic Church.
Wow. What a story. That's powerful. And it was just because of your witness there in college, standing up to this professor. He's calling you the resident Catholic and handing out rosaries in the college, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. By the grace of God, I was able to gain up the courage to confront my professor. And that was just the seeds, and it bared fruit. And now we have another convert to another one joining, hopefully, in heaven.
Praise the Lord. Cameron, that's a testimony. That's a credit to your faith and to obviously the fact that you're a young man that wants to be good at anything he does. And that includes our Catholic faith. Once you said, okay, I'm born and raised Catholic. I don't want to be just a mediocre Catholic. I want to be part of the Bellator Catholics, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what are some of your short-term goals when you get out of college? Let's look at micro, near future. What are some of the short-term goals?
Well, right now, my goal is to start working at the police department that I've been kind of interning for.
Okay.
And get more involved with that. I'd like to get my master's degree in public administration. After that, I'd like to either go full into the police department or sheriff's and follow your footsteps.
So who are you going to hand the torch down to over at Fullerton College with the pro-life? Obviously, there's people that you're going to pass the torch down to, right?
Absolutely. Yes. We, right now I'm actually not president of the Students for Life Club. I'm kind of taking, the treasury role, and, one of my, very Catholic friends that I do a lot of Bible study with, he's going to be taking over the presidency, so I can kind of just release it to him, so that way it continues on past me.
Cameron, have you found out that apologetics is very important for people your age to kind of know how to respond to basic questions and answers about the Catholic faith? Has that been helpful, the study of basic apologetics?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That is not just for converting other people, but for studying the religion deeper yourself. I realized that I've never studied the Catholic Church more than when I was going out consistently and evangelizing and getting questions and finding that I am lacking in some spots, and I need to continue my study. And I think of in a way as a competition. You know, they ask you questions, you got to work out more. We got to work out your brain, got to learn more, study deeper.
I like that.
And then,
that's good.
Come back.
So Cameron, what are your long-term goals?
My long-term goals are hopefully, I don't know how long I can stay in California with the way things are turning.
Mm. There's good police departments and sheriff's departments all over the country. Remember that.
Exactly. So I'm definitely going to be in the States, but probably not California. I hope to open up my own martial arts school.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's good.
A little bit of money saved up. I'm actually teaching right now. I have my MMA team is second on the West Coast, and I'm really proud of them. They've been working very, very hard.
Where do you you got a junior MMA team?
Yes, I do. Yes, we just fought at Nationals. We got up there. We got invited to go to the World Championships, and I'm so impressed with how much work they've been putting in. They're there.
What are the age groups of your team? What's the age group?
8 to 13.
Wow.
Yeah, and in a way, like I do my best to kind of instill the morals and the values of my faith in the way of training, in the way of discipline, in the way of visualization, and I also always make sure that when I'm wrapping their hands and right before a match, we pray, we ask God for forgiveness and for His protection.
That's incredible. So you've taken a hiatus right now from competition yourself because you're training fighters at this point.
Yes. With how much I'm doing in college and Students for Life and everything, I just can't devote the 6-7 hours a day to training. You know, I don't want to half anything.
Yeah, I get it. No, you get hurt when you start half stepping.
Exactly. So I'm going to finish up college in the next year or two. And then we'll kind of reevaluate and see if I can be a coach and mentor and fighter as well.
Hey, so we're coming up to the end of the segment, and I want to thank you for being on. But just has the Terry and Jesse show, have the conferences that we put on at the Sacred Heart Chapel, have those been helpful to you personally to continue to grow in your Catholic faith?
Well, absolutely. Jesus, like I said, the Lord's Gym is what kind of spurred my faith to begin with. Jesus 911, while I don't usually listen to you guys live because I don't start my mornings until the crack of dawn at noon. I do listen to you guys. They keep me, you guys keep me energized. You guys keep me, my faith filled, and you keep my eyes on the Lord. The conferences are a brief respite from kind of a godless and chaotic campus and world. So you guys really helped me with all of the struggles that I go through. So I just want to thank you guys so much for everything you guys do and helped me with.
Cameron, let me ask you one more question before we wrap it up. We got about a minute and a half here. How would you evangelize people your age? So Cameron, you got 1 minute. How do you, when you want to target somebody your age, a millennial, how do you evangelize people your age? Give me some steps in about a minute.
Well, first thing is a shout out to St. Paul Street Evangelization. They do a really good matrix on helping you kind of talk to people. But awesome. The main thing is, like I said, wearing your faith on your sleeve. I literally wear my faith on my sleeve by being the Kicking Catholic and my fight name. And that spurred so many conversations, something as small as a sign of the cross or a name or shirt or something as big as dragging a cross into the ring. Like I've seen a few fighters do, can spur a conversation because people are naturally inquisitive. So you don't need to berate them with the faith, especially young people. Because they'll naturally be inquisitive as long as you're living your faith and your actions match up with your words.
Cameron, you're an inspiration to the Catholic Church. You're an inspiration to me as well. And, you're not even 21 years old and you got your head on straight, young man. There's people that are 50 and 60 and they still don't have their head on straight. Just want to thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for your words of adulation for the show. Continue out there evangelizing, and we'll talk to you soon, brother. God bless.
Absolutely. God bless.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol Jesus 911, Catholic Briefing and Intel. Give you some the proper information, the proper catechesis, so you can throw all the stuff in your war bag and go out there and hit the streets and evangelize. Let me share a story with you of the way the rosary had a very powerful effect on me as a young man. And my mom and dad kind of modeled the power of the rosary when I was a young man. Here's what happened. This is the personal Romero story. My father, my mother, and their five Romero kids, I was one of five, we took a vacation to Mexico back in 1970. I was about 9 years old. My brother Johnny was about five. My brother Javier was about 10. Henry was 12. And my sister Josephine was about 16. We drove from San Fernando, California to where my mom and dad were born and raised. It was called Puruandiro, Michoacán, Mexico. Puruandiro is a city. Michoacán is a state. Mexico is a country. That's the town where my parents, they were raised in that town. It was about a three-day drive, about 10 to 12 hours a day in the family car. We were driving a 1966 Chevy Impala, and we were excited to take this road trip. It was our first and only time we went to Mexico as a family. So we're on day number three of our road trip. We were about 2 to 3 hours away from our destination, Puruandiro, Michoacán, and suddenly my brother Javier, he becomes very ill from food poisoning. It was probably a combination of the water and the food that did not sit well with him. He was vomiting. He had a fever. He was shaking like a leaf in the like a leaf in the wind. My mother was worried. She was telling my father, "We've got to get him to a hospital immediately." My brother looked like he was going to die. Okay. Now, my father said, "I don't know exactly where we're at right now, but we're less than 3 hours away from our hometown, Puruandiro. We can make it there and get him to the local hospital there. I'm familiar with that area." I overheard my father tell my mother that he didn't want to stop because we were in a desolate place of Michoacán, the state of Michoacán, where there was a lot of robbers, criminals, and thugs which lived there and especially preyed on the non-locals and tourists. And we had a big tourist sticker on our 1966 Chevy Impala and California license plates. So as we're driving, it was late at night. I was looking outside the window and I could see the shiny eyes of very large dogs around us. I heard my dad tell my mom in Spanish, "Those are wolves. We can't stop. We got to keep driving." So we approached some railroad tracks. And as we're driving over the railroad tracks, suddenly our car got completely stuck on the tracks because our car was very low. It had seven people in the car, and it had a bunch of suitcases and boxes. We even had boxes tied to the roof of the car with the ropes. So the car got stuck on the railroad tracks. And to make things worse, we saw the light of an oncoming train, and we heard the horn blowing. It was a few miles away. My father exited the car and he grabbed his flashlight and he said to us, "Get off the car, stay with mom. I'm going to go stop the train." I'm saying, "Stop the train? How are you going to stop? I'm 9 years old." Okay, I'm saying, "How's my dad going to stop the train?" Well, my father ran alongside the tracks towards the train yelling in Spanish, "Stop, stop. My car's on the tracks. My car's on the tracks. Stop, please stop the train." Now, my mother got off the car and the five of us followed her about 100 feet away from the car. I was scared. I was 9 years old. It was dark. I was cold. It's 12 midnight. And my dad's running down the railroad tracks because our car's stuck on the railroad tracks and a train's coming. And I kind of knew at 9, hey, my dad can't stop a train. I knew that was impossible. I was scared. It was dark. We were in a crime-ridden part of the state of Michoacan. And there's about a dozen wolves about 50 yards away. And they're all around us. Next, I saw my father running towards the train in an attempt to stop the train from broadsiding our car, which would have undoubtedly split the car in half and destroyed everything we possessed in our luggage. We would be stranded in the desert, surrounded by wolves and criminals, and my brother Javier was already half dead. Well, my mother locked and loaded. She took out a rosary, and she said, "Let's pray." She started the rosary. All five of us were literally holding on to her dress, and she led us in prayer. It reminds me of Psalm 144, verse 1. "Lord, prepare my hands for battle and my fingers for war." That's exactly what my mom did. There were six helpless people, my mom and the five of us, as my dad's running down the railroad tracks trying to stop a train, and we're storming heaven with prayer because we're in a very dangerous situation. The train was getting closer and closer. The horn was getting louder as it got closer, and the train light got bigger and brighter as it got closer to our car on the railroad tracks. I looked up at my mom as she prayed with deep faith and hope and trust in our Lord and Our Lady's protection. All of us were praying more out of fear. Even though I was young, I knew we were in a bad predicament. The train was about a mile away. Suddenly, the steel wheels from the train started screeching. Sparks and fire were shooting from the steel wheels and the train tracks, and it looked like they put on the brakes and that the train was slowing down. We kept praying the rosary, and I could see my dad running alongside the train, shining his flashlight at the engineers and yelling at the top of his voice, "Stop the train! Stop the train! My car's on the tracks! Stop the train!" The train was screeching, steel on steel, sparks flying from the wheels, and clearly seen at night. We prayed and prayed the rosary, expecting a miracle, asking our Lord and Our Lady to stop the train and save our car so that we could get my brother to a hospital. Well, the train, with about 100 boxcars, came to a complete halt less than a foot from my dad's car. The train engineers, about five or six of them, they got off the train and told us, "We never, ever stopped the train. You are very fortunate because we never stopped the train for anybody because of so many cartels and so many criminals here. We just plow through the cars and trucks that are on the train tracks because the drug lords and criminals try to stop the trains in order to rob them by putting cars across the tracks. So we just blast right through them. But something told us to stop the train now." Well, the train engineers told my parents that something moved their heart to make an exception this one time only and stop the train. Our car, my dad's 1966 Chevy Impala, was spared destruction, and the six engineers helped my father lift the car so that it cleared the train tracks. And the train engineers told us to drive away and do not stop because we were in a very dangerous part of Michoacan that was replete with robbers, thieves, and criminals who prey on tourists. We drove off and prayed another rosary of thanksgiving and took my brother Javier to the emergency hospital in Puruandiro, Michoacan. We finally got there. And as I can recall, I'm 9 years old, and I'm 58 now. But I witnessed Mother Mary, the Virgin Most Powerful, who showed herself as a mother to us, the Romero family, and protected us from a very dangerous situation. This was my first experience of the power of the rosary at the age of 9. And this memory, this experience, has been burned in my heart. I just want to close with a prayer, calling upon Mary, Virgin Most Powerful, and praying for her intercession for all of us listening to, for all the listeners out there, a Virgin Most Powerful. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Virgin Most Powerful, We switch to you for security. Holy Mother of God, pay attention to our prayers and support us in our requires. Preserve us from each danger. Superb and blessed Virgin, O Mary, powerful Virgin, you are the mighty and superb protector of the church. You are the great assistance of Christians. You are terrible as an army in battle array. You by yourself have ruined all heresies in the complete world. In the midst of our struggles, our anguish, and our distress, protect us from the power of the enemy, and at the hour of death, acquire our souls into paradise. Most Holy Virgin, you are special amongst women of all ages in the world. You are the daughter and handmaid of the most significant Supreme King and Father of Heaven. You are the mother of the most holy Lord Jesus Christ. You are the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Collectively with Saint Michael the Archangel, all the powers in heaven, and all the saints, pray for us to your most holy beloved Son, the Lord and Master of our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, you've been listening to Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, One Man Car. We're on Monday through Friday, Jesus 911, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm on with doing a two-man car with Eddie Chavez, retired CHP. We talk about spiritual warfare issues on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I generally do the programs with Ruben Nava, retired from the LA Sheriff's Department, and we talk about muscular Christianity. So the only thing that I want to tell you is the words of St. Padre Pio. He says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. Here in Jesus 9-1 and on Virgin Most Powerful in general, our programs are meant to put a spotlight of truth upon the culture of death. You can consider us like a lighthouse amidst the gathering storm. And all of us are called to be great saints. So don't miss the opportunity. Because faith is what gets you started. Hope is what keeps you going. And love is what brings you to the end. Where, you know, most men work for degrees after their names. We should all be working for those degrees before our names. ST. ST. Saint. Saint Jess. Saint Robert. Saint Eddie. Saint Ruben. That's a much more difficult degree to attain. And it takes a lifetime. And you don't get your diploma until you're dead. Guess what? If you're breathing and you got two legs, you're called to holiness. I don't care if you're 5 or 105. God from all eternity chose you to be where you're at this time in history to change the world. Know your Catholic faith. You cannot live your faith if you do not know it. And you cannot share with others what you do not make first your own. Live your Catholic faith. It's a public thing. It's like Cameron Brewer told us. It's not meant to be left behind when you leave your home. Spread your Catholic faith. Jesus Christ wants to bring the whole world into captivity to the truth. And unite your prayers, your rosary every day to Mary, the 12-star general. And unite your prayers also every day to the sword of St. Michael. And let's deliver a powerful blow to Satan and the kingdom of darkness. See you tomorrow. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. 10-7, off duty. We're out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.